If you take your Bibles this morning, would you turn to the book of Joshua? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now that is a great title. What do you aspire to be? If something were going to be written about you that would be etched in eternity, the Word of God lasts forever, what would you want written about you? Moses had this phrase, a servant of the Lord. That was what was written about him. It doesn't have greatest Israelite leader of all time. It has that Moses was a servant of the Lord. What a great title to be given to a Christ follower. Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, okay, so this is his right-hand man, this is his backup, this is a guy that's going to help him and help him lead, he's an aide. Moses, notice this, notice what's said about Moses. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites, of the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, it shall all be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to the fathers would give to them. And I want you to notice that Joshua is going to stand on the broad shoulders of Moses. Moses is a great leader of the past, known as a servant of the Lord, and look at all the pomp and circumstance that God gives him for being a great leader in Israel. What does he say about it? There's no funeral, there's no memorial, there's no pomp and circumstance, there's no long lament, there's no long psalm written about Moses. One thing is written about Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua standing on the shoulders of Moses and taking Israel into the next phase of its existence. You see, God wants to use us for His glory, and God is always at work, and you see that He's going to use Joshua to send the Israelites into the promised land. But here's one thing I want you to know this morning and not to forget as we go through this message this morning. God's plan will outlast every one of us. God's plan for His church will outlast every single one of us. You're like, that's awfully morbid for us today, isn't it, Pastor Jared? Hang in there. It might get worse before it gets better. All right, I want to talk to the generation of my age and older, generations older than me. So I'm 48, I'll be 49 in just a short little while. So my age and older, I want to talk to you just for a moment. Do you remember growing up and thinking that when your parents turned 50, they were like, oh, they're old. And then you got there, and you're like, whoa, those pictures, they look so old when they were 50. Am I that old? Do I have that much gray? Have I lost that much hair? Wow, how did this happen so quickly? Now, some of you are generations or a generation past me or a couple generations past me, and you look like 50. Man, that's young. You're a young pup. Harold, thanks for that this morning. He's nodding his head, yes. Thanks for thinking of me as a young pup this morning. Or an old dog, however you want to think of me. It's fine. Now, what about that younger generation? You look at us 50 years and older, and you think, whoa, it's going to take forever to get there. Let me just stand before you and tell you it goes by so fast. James says that our life is a mist Just the other day, Julie was changing the diapers of our girls, not me. Julie would change the diapers of the girls. And now I have grandsons. What? 50 years flies by. I want to give you a phrase today, one that I'd like for you, if you take notes, I'd like for you to write down. Now, it's not a biblical phrase, but today this is going to be really simple. I'm going to be really candid with you this morning. I'm going to lay some things out, what God's been teaching me over the last several months, and especially these last 2 weeks. But here's my phrase of the day. Be thankful for the past, but be thrilled for the future. It's going to be important for us here at PBC to be thankful for the past. We stand on the shoulders of godly men and women who sacrificed before us in time, treasure, and talent, but to be thrilled for what God is going to do. And if all we do is reminisce about the past, we, as a church, we're going to miss something great that God's going to do in the future. Now, I don't want to get eerie or mystic or any type of... I've had this crazy cool vision. I don't want to talk about that this morning. I just want to be really candid with you this morning. You see, 4.5 years ago when I was sitting down with the elders and we were processing whether or not God was calling us to Pontiac Bible Church, we knew, Julie and I knew, that when a church gets to the age of 40 and in between the age, the church is between an age of 40 and 50 years old, the church most often becomes what's called a revitalization of ministry. There are things that take place between year 40 and 50 that causes a church to stagnate or to level off. And we knew that. You see, we'd seen that in youth ministries over the years. And just by God's grace and the ministry experience that He's given me, we know that it usually takes somewhere between 3 and 4 years for a youth group to be revitalized to where they are disciples who are making disciples who are making disciples, and they're leading their own friends to Christ, and the youth group is growing in a healthy way. I told the elders 4.5 years ago that will take us 6 years. It will take us to the year 2020 for Pontiac Bible Church to be revitalized because we were in that age between 40 and 50 years old. Something that solidified that in my heart and in my mind, shortly after we got here, we took a vacation and went out to Las Vegas, Nevada, and spent some time with some of Julie's family out there, visited Hope Church. I listen to Vance Pittman online all the time. He's a pastor there, big church. They've planted churches around the world. Got to meet him, shook his hand, told him that I enjoy his messages. We talked back and forth. He asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm the new pastor of a church that's about 44 years old. Here's a pastor of a mega church with hundreds of other churches being planted, and they're planting about 26 more this year. And he looks me square in the face and he said, I could never do that. I would way rather plant a church than to see a church be revitalized. Shocked me. In fact, it was a little bit weighty on me as I'm standing there in front of this guy who God has as a great leader, and that was being pressed down on me. 2 weeks ago, the elders gave me the opportunity, I asked for it, and the elders gave me an opportunity to spend a week in some pretty intense training. I went to a biblical counseling training conference where for 4.5 days, I went through 35 different sessions, counseling sessions. Here were some of the topics: eating disorders, marriage and singleness, addictions, the will of God, infertility and miscarriage, parenting, the problem of evil. Those are just some of the 35 sessions I went to in 4.5 days for training. Leading up to that, I felt like God had been working in my heart, God had been working in my mind, God had been working as I'd been studying the scriptures, that there were some things that Pontiac Bible Church needs and this community needs. And I am convinced of this wholeheartedly, that Pontiac Bible Church and this community needs a place where that people can come and receive biblical counseling. And we're going to see that come to fruition. I have been praying for 2 years You have to take that gap out of the tape. I've been praying for 2 years that we could start a Celebrate Recovery. Man, our community needs that. I get to meet tomorrow night with the regional directors of Celebrate Recovery. Don't know how all that's going to pan out, but I think we live in a community that needs help with addiction. And I'm excited to be a part of that. I hope that others will come alongside of me, come alongside this church, and be able to help those that are caught up in addiction. I will also tell you, and I'm going to make this vague, I hope you'll trust me and trust our elders, that we have godly men whom you affirmed as elders in this church. And they have been planning, and they have been praying, and they've been preparing, and they've been praying, and they've been processing, and they've been praying. Do you understand where we're going with this? They've been praying. And there are some things that we have on the table, some next phases that we have on the table that we're praying about and that we're talking about. And there are some plans in our heart. And I want to let you know that we are thankful for the past, but we are thrilled for the future. Our elders are absolutely thrilled for the future, and we want you with us. Over the last couple of months, I've been reading through Psalms. In fact, January, my New Year's resolution that I shared with you, been reading through Psalms every month. And so I've been in the Holman Christian Standard, and I've been looking and came across Psalm 33:11. It's going to be up on the screen for you this morning. It's in the context, verses 6 through 12 in Psalm 33. It's with that Psalm 33:11. It's in that context. And inside of that context, the psalmist is talking about the omnipotence of God, the almighty power of God. And along with that, the fact that he is eternal God. Now try to wrap your mind around this. God is not set inside of eternity. Eternity is set inside of God. And then we get to Psalm 33:11. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Now, I've shared with you before. I've not had some kind of superstitious vision. I haven't been driving down the road and there's a billboard that says, "Pastor Jared, do this with Pontiac Bible Church and the elders." That would be awesome. I haven't had that. I've never even heard God speak to me audibly before. I'll tell you this, though. When I was a kid, when I was trying to make a decision, or I would be asking God if I should, what decision I should be making, I'd grab my basketball, go out to the hoop, and all right, God, if I make 8 out of 10, I'll know what you want me to do. I'll make this decision. And I would make 7 out of 10, and I'll say, okay, best 2 out of 3. God, let's try this again. And I would go out, and I would shoot back. And sometimes, let me just tell you, that's a terrible way to try to figure out God's will for your life. Okay, best 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. Horrible way. I would never recommend that. But if you've never tried anything, at least start. No, I don't even start there. I can tell you this. On many, many, numerous occasions, God has spoken clearly to me through his word. And the Holy Spirit takes that time and it opens my heart and opens my mind. And I know that you've experienced the same thing, that God has spoken to you through his word. John 14:26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." John 16:13, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare you the things that are to come." In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, we get to the end of verse 16. It says, "We have the mind of Christ." It's not my desire this morning to kind of supersize some extra spiritual, extra special revelation that God's giving me by his Spirit. I'm just telling you, In all sincerity, I've been spending time in God's Word, reading it every day, and I just want to share with you some things that I've been learning since reading through Psalms these last couple of months. Let's go back to Psalm 33:11. Would you read it with me? It's up on the screen. Read it. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart to all generations. Who here likes to make plans? You're just a planner. You like step-by-step process. I could stand up here and I can pick you out, okay? Because I am the exact opposite. When we would go on vacation, we would have Julie's clipboard of fun, you know, and it would be laid out for us, and we had a certain amount of food, and we would eat that certain amount of food, and if we had leftovers, we would take it home because we're going to eat it. All right, she does a super job planning those. I'm the dumb driver. That's all I do. Just get me to the place and let's have a blast. All those things in a row. And so some of you are planners. And by God's grace, I love having you around because you help me. Because I like ideas. I like to hear things. I like to get going. The elders are like, slow down. There are steps to the process. I'm like, let's go. Someone once said, plans serve as steps or goals to be accomplished for the greater good. Ben Franklin said, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Ugh. Let me give you three concepts just from this verse this morning, what God's been teaching me. And this is the key, because the title of the message is called Next, for Future Generations. Again, being thankful for our past, but being thrilled for the future. Concept number one. These are going to be really simple. God has a plan. God has a plan. And I know that already, maybe within some of you, it's already stirring. I know God has a plan for me because Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not for welfare and not for, or for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And you have that posted somewhere in your house, or you have it cross-stitched on a pillow on your sofa or something like that. And I don't want to step on your toes this morning, but I do want you to know the context of that verse. We so badly want to grab onto that verse because it says that God has plans for me. It's plans for a future and a hope. I won't fail and everything's going to prosper. And the prosperity gospel preachers grab onto that and say, send me money. The context of that promise is given to the nation of Israel by Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. He is a prophet of God that shares bad news with Israel. The promise was that God would deliver them. The other thing that was going to take place is that they were going to spend 70 years in captivity first. Now, how do you like that? God has plans for you. You're going to have a future and a hope. But first, you're going to go through 70 years of pain and suffering. Sign me up for that. But God does have a plan. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, Paul lists out what he's been praying for the church at Colossae. And this is what God's plan is, that we would be filled with the knowledge of His Word, that we would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that we would be fully pleasing to Him and bear fruit in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. Those are all things that God's plans are for us, that we would, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the will of God, your sanctification. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God has given each one of us a race to run. I can't run your race. I don't want to run your race. He has put in your life that race to run. But you know what? Not only has God given unique goals and plans for your life, He's done that for our church. God has unique goals and plans for us. He set out for us a race. Now, ultimately, we know that God's plan for us as a church is to be a part of the expansion of His kingdom. We know that. We know that as a body of believers. Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10 says, He's making a kingdom. Worthy are you, Jesus, to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed, bought back people for God from, here it is, every tribe, language, people, and nation. You have made them a kingdom and priest to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. That's in the book of Revelation. That's the end of your Bible. God has a plan for the expansion of His kingdom. We are a part of that plan. Do you recognize that 50 years, when it comes to the New Testament church and the people of God, 50 years is merely a drop in the bucket of what God wants to do for eternity? God has a plan for us. Who are we to sit back and decide that we're going to just maintain who we are and what we are currently doing? This thing called the church lasts for eternity. God has a plan, and we're a part of that plan. But because of that, here's the second thing, very simple concepts this morning. We need to hear from the heart of God. We need to hear from the heart of God. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart. See, Isaiah 55, 6 says, Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. To know His plan, to know God's plan for our church, your elders have got to be seeking the heart of the Lord. Your deacons have got to be seeking the heart of the Lord. You, as part of the church, have got to be seeking the heart of the Lord. Because to know His plans, we must seek His heart. In fact, there is no way to know God's heart and know God's plan for your life outside of the Scriptures and the Spirit within you. There's no way to know it. There's no way to know God's heart and receive His guidance apart from the Scriptures and His Spirit in you. That word seek in Isaiah 55, 6 means to search, to chase after. To chase after God. Does that sound passive or active? Does that sound passive or does that sound active? Active, good. I knew you were there. It is. It's active, but unfortunately, we have a tendency to chase other things than the heart of God. Where do I find the answers? Where God wrote it down for us in the greatest love letter ever written to man. That's where we find His plan and His heart. Unfortunately, we chase after so many other things instead of the heart of God. So what happens when we seek to know God's heart? Let me give you a couple of things. Here's what happens when we seek to know God's heart. We begin to fear God more than people. We begin to fear God more than people. If we backed up to verse 8, it says, Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. When we seek to know God's heart for what He wants us to do and who He wants us to be as individuals and as believers in the body of Christ, we begin to fear God more than people. We begin to do the same thing that Charles Sheldon talked about and that I talked about just a couple of weeks ago, that we start asking, and I know it's a crazy phrase that's been overused, what would Jesus do? We start being consumed with doing the things that Jesus wants us to do and being the people that Jesus wants us to be, that we're more consumed. We are consumed with the fear of God more than the fear of man. What happens when we seek to know God's heart? We believe Him and follow Him even when the cost is great. Even when He calls us to sacrifice. You know, our sacrifice in the States might be different and probably is different than the sacrifice in other countries. What is it that God's going to call us to sacrifice for His cause And if I seek to know God's heart, then I'm going to believe him and I'm going to follow him, even if the cost is great. And I need to be willing to sacrifice. The third thing, what happens when we seek to know God's heart is we find that our desires die. And his desires become our desires. Can I make that really, really, really simple for us? It's not about me. And ultimately, it's not about you. I pray that there will be generation upon generation that will stand on our shoulders after I am long gone, and that the gospel of Christ will explode after I'm dead. Now, it'd be really awesome to be a part of that right now. But that takes us to our next concept. Not only do we know that God has a plan and we need to hear from the heart of God, but third is plans impact generations to come. His plan impacts generations to come. God is constantly, constantly calling us to do something that will live past our lifetime. The people that began Pontiac Bible Church weren't thinking about the here and now back then. They were thinking about what God is going to do, what God would do in this city and in the surrounding towns, because they knew God was calling them to do something past their lifetime. Look at verse 11, Psalm 33, 11. The counsel of the Lord stands. Another word there, your translation might say, remain. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. That word forever means an unending time. If you could for me this morning, and I don't care if you blurt it out, if someone could tell me how to define forever, could someone give me a, how would we do, huh? Eternity, all right? Then let's bounce off that. How could someone please explain eternity? Okay, and? All right. So we have it figured out. So in our finite minds, process Psalm 33:11. The counsel or the plans of the Lord, they will stand, they will remain for on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And look, to all generations, way past me. Way past my life, from generation to generation to generation. What if what God desires to do through us, Pontiac Bible Church, is bigger than our lifetime? What if what God wants to do through us is actually bigger than our lifetime? Remember that guy, Vance Pittman, pastor at Hope Church out in Vegas, said this a little while back, and I wrote it down. Here's a great day to use it. The trails we are blazing today are the trails our children and our grandchildren are going to run in tomorrow as they lead people to Jesus from generation to generation, expand the kingdom of God. The trails that we're blazing are, so let's ask the question, Pontiac Bible Church, are we blazing any trails for our children and our grandchildren to run in from generation to generation to expand the kingdom of God and to see people to come to know Christ? Oh, we live in a tough day and age. I believe that Jesus is greater than he that is in the world. Listen, the kingdom of God is going to outlast us, and the impact of the gospel is going to outlast us. So why would we sit around thinking that this is all about us? God is calling me to be faithful, to blaze a trail, so that others who come behind me can run even after I'm gone. And he's called you to the same exact thing, to blaze that trail for generation to generation to generation. You know, the Bible is sometimes filled with some really, really scary, eerie passages. And I want to take you to one right now. Turn to Judges chapter 2. I'm going to take you to one of those moments where when you're reading it, if you slow down and process what is about to be said, this should really just sit ever so heavily in our gut. Now, I talked about, remember, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, here's what I want you to do, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I want you to be courageous and be strong. All of those things said about Joshua. What happened at the end of Joshua's life? Here's Judges. He did. Judges chapter 2, verse 6. Then Joshua dismissed the people. The people of Israel went each to his inheritance to take possession of the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great work that the Lord had done for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, here's the phrase, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110 years old. They buried him within the boundaries of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gash. And here it is, verse 10 is extremely important for us. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. Do you know what that means? Everybody in that generation died. They were all gathered to their fathers who had died before them. Okay? Generations come and generations go. And then here comes an eerie statement. And there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel. And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served other idols. A generation, maybe two generations later, gone. And that young generation never served the Lord. Does that not freak you out, church? That there could come a generation after us who we have not taught, who we have not brought up in the nurture and admonishment of Jesus Christ, who we have not fought for, cared for, loved, and brought and ushered into the kingdom of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. It didn't take long for people to turn away from the Lord and to gather to their own idols. God's calling us to be faithful. See, these last 50 years really haven't been a legacy of PBC. It's been a legacy of the kingdom of God continuing to do what he said was going to do because he promised it all the way to the book of Revelation. It's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. And we start today at noon and we finish tomorrow at noon with our day of prayer. You might be asking, why are we doing that today? Why a day of prayer today? It's a day of celebration. It's a day of an anniversary. And we're going to celebrate 50 years big at our Praise in the Park. But why a day of prayer today? Because today we need to be thankful for the past and thrilled for the future.